We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Sell Porn or Die Trying. I'm your host, Connor Young. I'm the CEO and co-owner of Why Not. Why Not is the original business resource for the online adult industry. And when I say original, I mean we are the original one. Why Not goes back actually to 1996, and it's been a resource for people who work in the adult entertainment industry for all that time. We were the first one that was ever created, and we are still here today, and we're happy to be presenting this brand new podcast where we're going to be talking about topics of interest to the adult business community. Now, my host this week, I just want to introduce really quickly, is Thomas Scavhellen of We Create Agency. And we'll talk a little bit about more him in a second. But first, I want to talk about this podcast because it's brand new and I want to make sure everybody knows what it's all about. So with Sell Porn or Die Trying, what we're going to be doing each episode is exploring some of the business trends going on in the adult entertainment industry. And we're especially interested in marketing and the affiliate world, what's happening with affiliate marketing. We're going to dive into topics like how affiliates can get started, pushing traffic to adult services, making money with the adult industry, how established affiliates can really kind of up their game, make more money with their campaigns. And each episode, we're going to be talking to a leader from the industry, somebody who we know, somebody who we can assure you is connected to a legitimate adult business. We're going to be asking them about what do they know about the business? What do they know about where we're going? What do they know about trends that are happening? Do they see any opportunities for a clever business to get in there and make some money? We're also going to be just kind of pulling on their history a little bit and their hindsight to say, hey, where was the industry and where is it now? So we can just kind of understand how the industry is evolving, what makes the modern adult entertainment industry move, and how do people make money in this modern adult landscape. So this week's guest, I had a great time talking with him. His name's Thomas Scavhellen. He's from We Create Agency. Thomas is, some of you may know Thomas. He was actually the co-host, ironically enough, of a podcast that he produced. And my business partner, the other owner of Why Not, Jay Copita, was actually his co-host on this podcast, Porn and Coffee. So he did that for a long time. He's talking with us in this episode from Bucharest, Romania, actually. So it's pretty cool. That's one of the things I love about this business is we get to have conversations with people all over the world. It's just a great benefit of the time I've worked in adult. With pre-pandemic, getting to travel, getting to meet people from all over the place. Thomas is a wonderful person. He's worked with some of the biggest brands in the industry, and he is a 17-year veteran of this business. So you can bet he knows what he's talking about when he gets into some of these topics that we're going to discuss today. And the thing about Thomas, I'll tell you what I like about him. There's a lot of things I like about the guy, but I actually think he's one of the most creative minds in the business when it comes to marketing, right? He has a true understanding of where we are at right now, like what the environment is like out there and how you connect with people. He has created some very interesting content. You know, he's one of those guys who can create things that really manages to connect with its modern audience that doesn't look like it was made, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And he's very forward thinking, Thomas. So in this episode, we actually talk about a lot of things. We talk about adult traffic services. We talk about how the industry has changed over time. And really, one of the interesting topics that I really enjoyed getting into it with him was about tube sites and the impact of tube sites on affiliates and adult business revenue. So what happened when the tube sites rose in prominence and how did that impact the industry? Thomas talked about PlugRush, which was a traffic service that he was involved with when it was formed. And so that's really interesting to hear the history there. And we talk about how, you know, to make money with offer networks and all kinds of good stuff. And also, really, speaking of tubes, one of the topics I think you're going to like is we get into the whole news, the recent news around Pornhub, where they lost for a brief time their ability to process credit cards, which all related to this article that a pundit in the New York Times posted going after Pornhub, saying that there was underage content on Pornhub that took too long long to get taken down. And Visa and MasterCard, or I don't know if it was both of them. I think it was Visa for sure. I think both of them temporarily suspended Pornhub's ability to process credit cards. It did get resolved. But the question is, what does that mean for the industry? Are we seeing some trends here that are troubling? And so Thomas and I, we get into that topic. You're going to want to hear what he has to say on that one. But before we get any further, I just want to make an important point, which is that this podcast is sponsored this week by Why Not Market. Why Not Market is an all-in-one CRM that accelerates growth by increasing awareness, generating leads, and driving conversions. Leverage advanced automation, predictive analytics, and artificial intelligence with an intuitive, easy-to-use interface. Why Not Market is powerful marketing automation software that tracks your leads and keeps them hot for you by engaging them with pre-scripted customer journeys that you define beforehand. So this makes sure that you aren't wasting your marketing dollars by leaving money on the table. The best way to see what Why Not Market can do is just to hop on over to whynotmarket.com and schedule a free demo. You won't be disappointed. It's an amazing platform. Okay, let's roll this. Here's me talking to Thomas Scavhelen from We Create Agency. So, Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and congrats with the brand new podcast. It's a great idea. I think that it's not much spoken about, this affiliate part of our industry, which is then even more important because that's kind of what's running most of people's businesses nowadays. Not direct traffic, but affiliate traffic. So I really enjoy this, and I'm looking forward to be on your show. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, Why Not goes, like, our ties to affiliate marketing actually goes way back. Why Not was started, for those who don't know the company too well, we actually got started in 1996, believe it or not. So yeah, there wasn't really much of an adult internet then. There was no Google, you know, there was no Facebook or any of this stuff. And our founder was a gentleman named Rick Munyong, who was actually only 19 years old at the time when he launched Why Not, believe it or not. Yeah. And it was a Wild West days of affiliate marketing, and anything went, and people were trying to figure out what it was, and the money was pretty fast and furious, I got to say. It was really good times. And Why Not was really sort of, Rick saw all this craziness going on in the affiliate world and wanted to create a place where affiliates could sort of come together and gather and share ideas. And that's kind of what we want to do with the show to a degree, really, is feature guests that we can talk about that, share knowledge, and really help build the affiliate community up to the best of our ability to do so. Do our own little part. Thomas, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself, tell us your background, and also maybe you start off by telling us where you're actually coming from right now, where you're talking from, what time, and set the story. What time is it? What country are you at? You know, what's it like where you're at right now?
I'm living this beautiful life as a digital nomad, and I've been lucky before to be able to travel around the world with this business, with this in industry. Right now, I'm talking to you from Bucharest, Romania. I seems to be stuck here for a certain point of time because of the situation we're in. But yeah, basically from Norway, Bergen, the most rainiest city in Europe. So I wanted to take a break, so I moved a little bit around, and now I'm stuck in Bucharest, Romania. And right here, I'm running my business from here, my own company. Right now it's called We Create Agency. And basically what I'm delivering for people is, and companies in the industry and also in the mainstream industry, is marketing packages. And we deliver content creation, we can do video editing, graphics, landing pages, podcast editing, you know, all kind of stuff that we are managing to deliver. So we've been very lucky to be working with some of the biggest brands in our industry. And I'm thankful every day when I wake up to be able to give something back to the industry and create some changes, some stuff that I really love. So this is basically, yeah, what I'm doing. I've been in the industry for 17 years. 17 years! That's almost, you know, the same as Why Not. But yeah, way, way, way much later. I really enjoyed my first affiliate show was Webmaster Access in 2006 in Amsterdam. So yeah, that's the basic for me.
So I don't know, since you work with a lot of different companies, and I know a lot of the stuff you do, you know, you're not necessarily at liberty to talk about, but are there any projects that you're currently working on that you can talk about? Like where are you kind of focusing your energy these days, and what areas of the business do you see, hey, this is an area that interests me, I see a lot of opportunity over here?
The last 3-4 maybe 5 years even, I have been focusing a lot on the cam industry. So that's basically where I've been putting most of my effort in. Just because, like, so many years ago, I was working in this traffic company called PlugRush, and we saw this thing. I think we were in Phoenix, actually, on a show in Phoenix, where this cam model came up to me and say, hey, what do you guys do? You know, and we're always like thinking, okay, this is not going to be a successful meeting at all, you know, but she was asking us everything about traffic. So what does that mean? You know, what is traffic? And we explained the concept of it. It's like you buy traffic to your website or whatever, and this is how it works. And she's like rethinking this and saying, okay, does that mean that whenever I go online, I can have like 1,000 people visiting my cam room? And that's when the first light bulb went up for me and Thomas Peterson in PlugRush, where we then try to create this traffic network for cam models, because there is no way we understood that she can go in and order traffic with all of these things that you need to do these days in a traffic network of segmenting, you know, where does the traffic comes from, what countries, what type of ad types, you know, there is so much stuff. So what we aimed to do was to create Diva traffic back in the days that just had one button so that you can start to fill in your room with traffic. So that thing started right there. And then from I left Diva traffic in PlugRush, and then I found out there are so many other tools that this industry needs and can have help with, you know. And everything from getting models to a studio, everything from getting models to sign up to websites, to campsites, and all of these other tools that have come later, you know. So we're talking about this when, if I can bring it a little bit longer back, like my first time in industry was actually to build these affiliate sites, you know, the TGPs and stuff like this that we knew that worked back in the days, you know.
That's some old school stuff right there.
That's TGPs. Some old school. It's like all of the gallery pages, video pages. We had blogs before anything was blogs, you know. We had videos there for like 3 minutes or something, and people clicked banners back in the days.
And for anybody who's new, maybe explain what a TGP is for people who don't understand that.
Yeah, it's basically like a thumbnail gallery of kind of a thing that just a landing page that had a bunch of galleries on it. And when you click these galleries, you get like to see 12 pictures, and then there was a big banner underneath, and when you click that, you sign up. People actually signed up to things back in the days. They clicked stuff, they signed up to stuff, they paid for stuff, because there was no other way that you can get this thing. We serve this teasing content, if you want, and then you go and sign up to see the full clip and stuff like this. So this was what we did. So, but bringing it back to where I was, is this is kind of what I'm doing also now, but in a real world kind of a thing. So I'm still affiliating in a certain way. Like if you come to me and ask me, it's like, hey, I want the website. Can you recommend a hosting company? Then I will tell you that, okay, you should go with Norman or you should go with Brad. And I will get some referral income from that, you know? So that's the kind of affiliate thing that goes on. If somebody, some campsite comes to me and say, hey, we need more models. Okay, I will bring models and I will get some commission for that. If a studio comes to me and say, hey, can you help me with setting up something so we can get more models in? Yes, I can do it, but then I will get some affiliate commission for that, you know? So it's still in my blood, all of this affiliate marketing thing, even though it changed a little bit over the time. And I think time itself changed. So this is why I needed to adopt as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because I'm really interested in that topic since, like I said, I go back to 97, the first show I went to. So I was like, yeah, 1 year after Why Not got started. The first show I went to was in Orlando, Florida, and it was just this hodgepodge of internet guys and phone sex people, right? And yeah. I watched the industry explode from there. And within a few years, you're going to shows in Las Vegas, places like that here in the United States. And it was just packed show floors with booths everywhere. This was really built around the affiliate world. So most of the people exhibiting were looking for affiliates to promote their programs. Affiliates were making lots of money in short order, building TGPs or galleries or small little sites. It was a very vibrant and active community. Over time, things have changed. So I wanted to get your perspective on what changed, like from that day, what changed in the industry, what happened to kind of get us from here to there, and what were sort of the influences or the business realities, I guess, that changed that caused us to go through that transformation, and what does it look like today?
I don't think I have all the right answers for this, but I have the overview answers for what happened, and especially for our point of view. The first thing that happened, we had like 15 of these TGP sites, and it had like 500,000-600,000 visitors every day. You know, so I don't think we were the biggest. We were definitely not the smallest. And we kind of was easy to go on these shows, as you talked about, and people will get to know us. Ah, you guys are the Camel Media people, because that was some company name we had, and we got invited to all of these special things and get special all kind of gifts and dinners and whatnot. So kind of a big deal back then. And then traffic stops at certain points, and there were two things that changed. Number one was that tube sites came along. And I'm not blaming any tube sites. Like I don't care. Like, this is just one of the things, because we delivered small galleries and small videos, like maximum 5-6 minute videos, you know, not even. And there was most of the time we cut up the good parts even. And we'd link directly into a pay sites that you need to go in and buy the actual clip if you wanted to see it. And that worked for us. And then the tube sites came, and there was so much free content. So why go into all of these TGPs to then buy the content when you can see all of this free content here? So I think that's number one, where we lost a lot of the traffic and it wasn't worthwhile anymore. So number two was that the phone came along. When the iPhone came and things changed a lot with that, many of these pay sites didn't even optimize, didn't even care about, you know, that traffic. That will never happen. Nobody will watch porn on their phone. There was a lot of discussions back and forward. And I'm not taking any sides, but we see what happened, right? So that happened, and that also ruined it for a lot. And in the end, all of the bigger things bought up a lot of the smaller things that happened. So there was fewer people. So we see that with some of the biggest one. I know the third owner of that page that I loved so much back in the days. I think one of the few is probably the Hun that still holds on to his page still today. And it looks perfectly the same way as I remember it when I was 13. So things like this has changed a lot. What happened in my case was that at the same time, we traded a lot of traffic. So this was what we did to keep having new traffic coming into clicking all of our stuff. So we traded a lot. Sometimes we bought like an ad spot into our site and back and forward. And in the end, we went on the technology route and we built what's now called PlugRush, let's say. So that came out of all of that, because there was no really good way of organizing all of this. I think around the same time Juicy Ads came along, and I think along the same time as this happened, ExoClick came, not shortly after or a little bit before, and that became our kind of focus in the end, you know, trading the traffic around, selling the traffic, buying the traffic, and help these webmasters that was left to earn money. So right now, everything has changed in the way that you don't really need a website anymore to make any money. Because what you can do is to go to all of these traffic sites and send it to offers. And then you have all of these people came up with all of these offers before in the beginning of all of these pay sites, right? So you go into all of these Zulu girls that have their own little website each, you know, and you go in and sign up for that one and her friend. And that's what you paid for every month, like 20, 30, 40 bucks every month. So you did that. And now things change. It's like, what can we add on top of all of this, you know? So all of these pills came along, all of these other chat subscription came along, SMS subscription came along, and all of this came in and they start bidding for the traffic. So this is basically what changes and what ruins it for the everyday webmaster that was earning a lot of money every month, that I feel maybe should be really hard to reset at this point.
Okay, so that leads perfectly right into the next question I had for you, which is just, like I said at the intro to the show, one of the things I want to explore is, can an affiliate make money anymore? So like let's talk about somebody who's not a company, not a corporation, doesn't have a big budget, but wants to just go out as an independent operator and sign up for affiliate programs, and find a way to make money. Is that possible? And then the next level of this question is going to be, if it is, or to the extent that it is, what if you were just starting off and you were looking at the industry, what sectors of the industry would you look at to get started? Would it be live cams? Would it be dating? Would it be novelties? Where would you go? So that's multi-part question there for you.
Yeah. So I still hope and believe that it is possible. As a one-man show, it's a lot of work. So first of all, it's the content, and you can sign up to all of these affiliate programs and get the content just like we did before. And so there is enough content out there to start building your own thing. There is some changes now. And we are talking about adult and we're talking about porn mostly at this time, right? So all of these videos and stuff. So there is different ways you can go into these Xhamster, I believe, and Pornhub, and you can embed stuff and you can get paid per 1,000 views. You know, there is some stuff that can happen there. But then again, it's like, okay, you need to sign up for all of these affiliate things. And I think then need to go niche. And I think you need to go super niche. So if I would be going super niche right now and looking into niches that can maybe take off of some sort, I think we are done with all of the celebrity sex tapes. I did all of that back in the days. I don't know who's the new one that will come that will really start selling. So I think I will focus on VR to be super niche, because I don't think that niche is taking off and being crazy yet, because you are fighting for the search engine traffic. If you're not getting the search engine traffic, you need to start to buy traffic from other sites or through a traffic network. You need to also start to clean up that traffic, because that traffic has been around so much between pop-ups and all kind of pop-unders and whatnot sites that is out there. Traffic is expensive. It's expensive even in the adult world compared with a couple of years ago. So if you're going to build up all of that, yeah, it's going to take a time and it's going to cost some money.
Okay, so you mentioned VR. Let's just really quickly just kind of go back to that. You mentioned VR content, which I think is really interesting. You've got all these, I don't know if you've seen like VR gaming these days, but like I have a son who brought over his VR system, and I had never really seen one. You know, I've seen those little ones you put the cell phone in or whatever. And he had one of the, you know, he had the Oculus, so he had like the nice system. And I about shit myself. I couldn't believe how good it was. Like for the game, it was like, are you, like when it first turned on, I mean, I think I said to him something like, are you fucking kidding me? Right. That was like my first reaction. Right. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's that good. So it does feel like there's an opportunity there, right? For companies that are producing high quality VR, there's a whole lot of people running around with these new systems, right? And do you see a lot of, do you think there's enough high quality VR for people to sign up to programs there and make some money? Or do you think that's still an area of the industry that it's like, hey guys, start producing some more of this content. There's demand and we don't have enough of it.
No, I definitely think there is enough content. And the good thing is that there are still companies believing in this VR content, you know, and I have not picked a side, but I just feel like we are back at this point where there is so many people that are saying VR is not going to happen, right? Just like we did with the mobile phone. And I feel that that's where we are right now with VR. And we are laughing a little bit about those VR people that is producing this content and even doing VR cams and stuff like this. You know, I know it. There is not a lot of traffic going on, but there is enough to keep those companies alive at this point. And I think that if you come in there and niche down to this and be one of these first now that comes up with all of these either white labels or come up with all of these content sites, you know, blogs about it and stuff like this, there is a good opportunity in this. And also with this, the adult gaming and stuff like this, with the cartoon stuff and stuff like that, I think there is a niche there as well, if you can go in there, but you need to niche it. You don't, like we did back in the days, we were everything, you know, we had lesbians, we had couples, we had brunettes, we had everything within one place. before you need to sort it out to be like, okay, soft and hard and whatever. So I think you the niche and then get those keywords now and rank high by with it now and get some traffic in from some other sources and trade and buy some traffic. I think that's good opportunity. And of course, the quality, I would say I've seen that in both good VR sets and I've seen it in this cardboard stuff and everything like this. And I could not necessarily imagine myself consuming adult content this way. And because there is a lot of questions, okay, you are sitting in a room, dark room by yourself, you have the headset on, so you don't hear anything. You cannot hear when people come in, you know, you put the thing down, you cannot see if people come in. That's the biggest fear of being caught with your dick out, right?
Right.
So there needs some planning. And with your phone, you're just in the bed and you can do whatever. You're in the bathroom, you can do whatever. So I think there is a step you need to come over there. But I think that that's going to be normal. And it's just getting back to it. It's the new mobile phone.
Can you imagine if you were like in your room jerking off for like, you know, 10 minutes and you pull the VR set and your mom's standing right there just like,
yeah,
you know,
the whole family is standing there. It's like, what is daddy doing? It's like,
that's when it's time to talk about healing as a family and moving on and getting past this.
Yeah.
That would really be difficult. You mentioned Gaming Adult. That's a company we've paid attention to, and adult gaming in general. This is also an area of interest to me. Like, there's such a huge base of like, of younger adults, right, who grew up in that whole world of cartoons and anime and still really enjoy anime as adults, and are regularly playing games still. Have you seen any numbers? Have you heard from any affiliates? Do you know anybody who's in that game? Can you talk a little bit about what you think the opportunity is there?
Yeah, no, for adult gaming, it's huge. And I don't understand it. Again, this is not my cup of tea, but that doesn't mean it doesn't work. So I think that's the biggest fear of things, you know. And I also think that if you're going to go into this space, you should have some passion for it, just to keep you going. Because in the beginning, if you don't really consume this type of content yourself, maybe you're not able to make content, create content, you know, write articles, whatever needs to be done, review sites, write reviews. You cannot do that with the passion that is needed to convince the consumer that came in and read the review, you know. So I think you need to have some kind of passion for it. The numbers are growing like crazy in the adult gaming community. I don't know how much of that is affiliates and how much these affiliates are making, but I know there is at least a couple of hundred affiliates already doing this, or a couple of hundred affiliated sites that are delivering this. So, but that doesn't mean that it's not possible. It's the same if you ask me, should we start a podcast this year? It's like, no, there's too many podcasts, you know? But if you niche down like you did, then it's definitely possible and it's a room. So I just think you need to find that niche, but you need to have time and you need to have some resources to get started. So that's the thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so think about the affiliate who like, you know, like I was back when I started, right? Don't have resources, don't have money. So they're not going to go out and necessarily buy a lot of traffic, but they want to get started and they're trying to think, where should I focus my time? So should I make blogs? Should I write reviews? Should I try to create, as you mentioned, sign up for programs, download that content they'll give you and create like some sort of a destination site? Or should I just be, you know, doing clever social media marketing, finding ways to like push people to a landing page and out to an affiliate program? What are some of the activities that you think, you mentioned podcasting, right? Like maybe there's a niche pod. What are some of the avenues of creating traffic that you think are available to people who don't have the resources to just flat out buy it?
Yeah, I don't think there is a getting rich quick scheme going on here anymore. So it will take time. And I would start with some kind of a website. If you don't have any budget at all, I think there's like a three step. If you don't have any budget at all, I would start out with a website and search optimize it like crazy. In the niche, find the keywords, do all of the hard work that's needed to do that. Find the content that fits that niche. You know, there is at least, if we're talking about the gaming adult, there's at least 5-6 companies that are producing high quality games that converts like crazy. And maybe you also need to get some numbers, and that you can easily find by go to like similarweb.com, go in and find that game and see where those countries are on the highest list of visitors. So if that's American, then focus on the American market. If that's Germany, try to focus on the German market. You know, it's even a great opportunity. Like even for me as a Norwegian, I could create a Norwegian with Norwegian text and everything thing, because that will hit the niche and I will have almost zero competition, you know, for people searching it for the Norwegian market. So it's some great stuff there. If you have a little bit of a budget, you can even test stuff. You know, if you have a couple of $100, you can even test stuff. Many of these affiliate programs have pre-built landing pages ready for you with your affiliate code and everything on it. That means that all you need to do, you don't need to create all of this content. You don't need to have passion for it. You don't need to go crazy. You only need to send traffic to that little landing page that is already made for you, which probably is the fastest way to figure out if you're good at this or not, or if it will work or not. Then you go to one of these traffic exchange places, Juicy Ads, PlugRush, Traffic Stars would be good as well. So one of these places, go in, you know, create some campaigns, niche it down, get the best traffic for this kind of things. Many of these places now also have very good educated account managers that says our product converts very, very well with, for example, pop traffic or banner traffic or this thing. So you will get some help from the account manager from each place. So ask them, use them. They are there to help you earn money. And the same place, if you have this one on one side, all of these traffic places also have account manager, and they will help you to get the best kind of traffic. So, but then you need to have a little bit of a budget. I would say I would not jump into anything if I didn't have $1,000 to play around with. And then if you have $10,000 and just want to change career or whatever, then it's about getting a team, you know, get a couple of people in to do all of the hard work for you. You just come up with ideas. So
and if you don't have that budget, if you don't have $1,000 to spend on traffic, because let's face it, it's a risk. So my own experience with traffic buying is there's a process you have to go through with everything you do to understand, and you're going to waste some money at first because you got to spend a little and then you got to make refinements and you got to spend a little until you find that, you know, that approach that sort of works for you. And maybe some people don't like, hey, they're looking at the affiliate marketing game and they're saying, you know, this is interesting to me. I'm not really yet. I want to prove that I can do something with this. Is it still possible to, do you think, to get traffic through like blogs and search engine optimization, trying to get organic traffic through Google? Are there things people can do with social media? I know there's rules, you know, Twitter's a little bit more open, but most of these social media platforms have a lot of strict rules. Do you think there's still an opportunity for people to do that organically?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a lot of work. I know some people that are still doing it that way, meaning creating blogs every day. And the traffic can come from anywhere, from like Twitters, from Reddit, which is pretty good for this. And so you can create social media channels, you know, with Instagram and try to do that as nicely as possible. So there is opportunities there, but it's harder and harder to get these 100,000 people in at the same time, right? It will take you time to actually get ranked in the search engine for different topics. So. And then I actually don't know if this exists. There is a couple of forums in our industry, but I don't think this beautiful exchanging links for free exists anymore. Everybody wants money for that as well, because they are really highly ranked. So you should have a little budget for buying a couple of these at the time. That would be the next step if you don't have any money. So it's just going to take a lot of work. You know, when we were kids, we did this in a week and we had something up and running, and the first $100 were in like very fast after. So it was crazy. Like Alta Vista was the most beautiful search engine we have. And it was so easy to rank for something randomly in that. We had software for that as well. So,
oh man, my expertise was in a search engine called Excite. There was a Excite.com was a search engine back before Google. And for some reason, I just like my style of page making, Excite loved it. And I was always like top five for every niche category that I would hit. Right. And it was, it was fantastic. They had a lot of traffic back then. Man, Google just laid waste. It was like Walmart in America showed up and killed all these mom and pop stores. Google did the same thing to all these search engines, InfoSeek and Lycos, and there was all these different search engines, and they're just all basically gone now. So if some, let me ask you this then, you know, because this is a theory of mine and it's going to sound, and I'm just going to like say it right out, it's going to sound like this is very biased on my part, right? Because I have an interest in this particular area, and that's email marketing. We have, you know, Why Not Mail, of course. So I'm just full disclosure, I'm not trying to push the program here, but I want to make sure everybody knows that I do have that program, so I'm not trying to pull a fast one here. But one of my theories about affiliate marketing is that email is really important, right? Like if you have a way of creating pages that are building your own email list, then effectively you have the means to re-hit the same person multiple times. And in marketing, a message you give somebody once, you know, it doesn't always sink. Like if you think about your own days, and I'm going through the day and I'm seeing ads or whatever here and there, okay, whatever, you're kind of tuning them out. But when a message keeps hitting you repeatedly, 3, 4, like I think of Netflix, right? When it got started, what's this Netflix shit? You know, no, but whatever, you know, you're not paying too much attention to it. You heard it once. By the time you've heard it 5 or 6 times, right, and you're starting to see some examples, it's like, okay, what is this Netflix? I'm going to go check it out. It piques your interest. There's a rule in marketing. I forget the exact terms, but it has to do with repetition of message. I think email and social media, like those two specific areas, are the best way to do that. If you have a website, you're just relying on somebody coming back to that website on a regular basis, which maybe they do if you have compelling content, maybe they don't. There's a lot competing for their attention. There's zombies scrolling on Twitter, you know, or Facebook, or wasting all their day there. Email provides a means for you to reach out and tap that person on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, consider this. I know it's difficult. Email marketing's not, you know, it takes a little effort as well to make sure that your messages are getting through and people aren't complaining. But what do you think about email marketing as a way for somebody who's getting started to like, hey, focus on pages and blogs that are trying to lure people into providing their email address so that you actually can create your own list?
So I think with email marketing, it's a brilliant idea if you are able to do that. And of course, I would say that everybody should be trying to capturing email addresses one way or another. The issue is like, okay, if you go into this niche of gaming adult, okay, what can you offer for them to give away their email address, right? And what will you follow up with after? I think this is the trick about these things. I think there is a reason why we are not receiving emails with the Daily Hun galleries, you know, because of that offer of why should I give you away so that I can get porn into my email. So if you are managing to trick that in one way or another, like I've done it for the other way around in the way of helping cam models to get more money and whatever offers I can put in their direction. So for me, I have a newsletter going out every week on Thursdays that is then sent to all of these cam girls that are basically signing up for my newsletter, where I'm then adding ads inside of it. You know, if you sign up to this cam site, you will get something. If you sign up to this thing and sell your Snapchat, you will get something. So this is where I can earn money out of this. But you need to come with that offer in your own niche. So capturing the email, what are you giving in exchange for them giving you your email? And the second thing will be what are you then following up with as a message over a time? And how do you sell from there, basically?
So I wanted to ask you, like, if you've seen for affiliates of all levels, are there certain tools that you think that are especially helpful? That could be anything from software as a service sites that are providing hosted software that's valuable to affiliates, maybe for creating websites or for SEO campaigns or for your email marketing or for your for building landing pages. What software tools do you think would you recommend that everybody kind of take a look at and consider you know, adding to their arsenal?
So depending on what you want to do with affiliate marketing, there's a couple of tools that is always nice to have or good to have. Some of them are more important depending on what you're going to do. So if you are going to touch on any form of buying traffic, for example, or making landing pages or look into the competition, first of all, we can talk a little bit about ad spy tools, you know, to check what other people are promoting. If they are buying traffic in Google or in Facebook, there's a bunch of ways to see what ads they're actually running and how well they are performing. So if you're going to go down the same route, it's easier for you to copy that. So definitely we'll check out some of them. Some names are SpyPush, SpyOver, or Adplexity can be used. Also, it's important to have some tracking tools if you're buying traffic so that you can actually see what you are buying, where the traffic comes from. And I will definitely start out with volume on this one, V-O-L-W-U-U-M, volume. And I think it starts around $44 a month and you have something to monitor everything. If not, you can also try out RedTrack, which is pretty good. Then I will definitely invest maybe in a good VPN. NordVPN is pretty good for this. Just if you need to check different geos and stuff like this. Landing pages, my favorite right now that I'm using for most of my projects are Breezy and Breezy.com. But there is, if you need more like conversion tracking, ABC testing, all of that stuff as well, you should definitely check out Landingi or Lead Pages. Those are the two that really sticks out for any kind of stuff. And one of the other points here is if you want to do email marketing, maybe I'm the right guy to just put in that one. You should talk with the guys over at Why Not Mail, just because it's super hard to start with the adult email marketing with MailChimp or any of those other tools out there. You will risk to lose your whole email list. So definitely take backups and stuff like this, or go with somebody that is more adult friendly. Yeah, other tools I'm using that I can mention is basically Canva, creating graphics and social media posts. Also using Buffer for scheduling posts. And I think that's a good start. I think you will have more people coming on here in the future that will give you a couple of more tools that are important to use for affiliate marketing. So I hope some of these helps somebody out there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and last question I have for you. I really just wanted you to kind of break out your crystal ball here for a little bit and look forward to, you know, as 20, I mean, obviously these are weird times, right? Most of us in the industry are used to gathering together at industry events, and we do a lot of business that way, you know, and it just really hasn't happened in 2020 for obvious reasons. Travel's a problem. You know, hopefully we're going to start coming out of that in 2021. I have high hopes that we're going to see live events. So Why Not itself is planning for our own live events in 2021, in addition to virtual events, which we think are also important and have a place. So as that environment's happening and looking forward to 2021, what do you see happening to the adult industry in this year? Do you see any trends that you think are going to happen? Do you see any especially troubling hurdles, or do you see any great opportunities that everybody should be paying attention to? What do you think is going to happen in the next year?
This year, I think it's going to be a little bit the same as 2020. It's going to be a little bit crazy this year as well, I'm afraid. For everybody that loves to create conferences, and I've been working with a couple of these companies that create industry events, we see that people have been making shit tons of money by not traveling around, which is alarming. So before, you always needed to go to the next show to get the leads and then go home. Now it seems like people figure out the way with Zooms and meets and everything like this to still make the money and even more, and they saved all of these travel and sponsor money. So that's going to be interesting to see in 2020. So for the adult industry itself, there's going to be a couple of more changes that we already saw happening in December, I think, with the whole Pornhub thing going on, content being deleted, things going to change with payment stuff, some more banks going to feel this thing. I think we're going to have some interesting changes there with where you put your content and who is owning the content and stuff like this happening here as well. So I think that was just like a small little snowball that happened with Pornhub, and let's see what happens after that and who's next on the list, basically. So 2020 was shitty. 2021 is going to be medium shitty, and hopefully it's all cleaned up to 2022.
And I'll press you on two things on this same topic that you just mentioned. So Pornhub, you mentioned Pornhub and you mentioned banks. And so looking ahead to 2021, do you think that a lot of companies in the US specifically, right, relied on this law called Section 230, which basically says if users put content on your, and you're just a hosting platform, you're not liable. So like it protects Google, like if somebody uploads a child porn picture or something on Google, yeah, they're going to delete it, you know, when they find out, but they are not held liable for being, for distributing child porn, right? Or other illegal content. So it's an important, if you're going to let users upload content to your site, that's really important because that's scary, right? It's like if you're liable for something they upload, and there's a lot of idiots out there. You know, that's an important law, and there are multiple forces trying to take that down. I think we've seen efforts from that in the UK as well, like this idea of trying to hold people responsible for content that others post on their platforms. Do you see changes in the industry beyond just Pornhub? Because they're obviously starting to, moderate. Do you think that's going to impact things?
Yeah, you have Germany going after everybody with this German age ID thingy, which finally will come this year, I believe. I think they will win like crazy. They have everybody in the court at this point, I believe, most of them, as I know. So meaning basically that everybody needs to install this age ID thingy on all this all the platforms. And I think UK was pretty good up and running with that as well, if I'm not mistaken. I've been hearing this for ages that I need to install this thing and make sure that everybody from UK comes in and things going to happen, you know. So I don't know what the final word's going to be on that, but the change is going to happen for sure. And then, of course, the tube sites will have some kind of issues, and all of these content sites basically will have some kind of an issue when there is no new content from random users being uploaded, you know, because this was helping a lot. There was millions and millions of videos just uploaded from random people. Now, when I want to upload my jerk-off video to Pornhub, I actually need to give them my ID as well, so they know whose penis it is, basically, if somebody's asking. So this is going to change the business models for some of these sites on how to generate that user-generated content. And then the war begins with the models and stuff like this. Who is going to get the models? Is this going to be exclusivity on some of the models? What happens then? Does some other tube site need to take down all their content because this is exclusive here, you know, so you can only get the her content on this page? So it's going to be a little war, I believe, happening in this area.
Yeah, and you mentioned banking. So as part of the exchange, I've noted lots of efforts from banking, from governments really around the world to leverage banking as a way to censor or go after companies that are doing things they don't like, that maybe it's not so easy to get these guys through the law. Like in the US, we have free speech laws that protect content. But if you use banking, you put pressure on a company through banking, right? It's private industry. It's a different game. So we saw this with Pornhub, you know, where for a brief period of time, they lost their ability to process Visa and MasterCard, all because some writer wrote a column suggesting, you know, that they were doing bad things. Do you think that because of that, like, what do you think that's going to mean for cryptocurrencies in 2021? Like, is the industry looking at cryptocurrencies and going, you know what, this is a little bit more urgent than ever? And if there was ever an industry that could really help cryptocurrencies take off, it's adult, right? At the end of the day, adult could be huge for crypto. Do you think the industry is looking at crypto and saying, you know what, we need this and we need this now because the banks aren't playing fair and we can't rely on them? Or do you think crypto is one of those things that we're going to talk about forever and it's never really going to penetrate the industry?
Yeah, no, just a note on this thing that sucks really bad about this one column, and then this thing happens. You know, there is not that many columns about that Facebook had over 100,000 things happening, you know, right, with cases happening, and nobody's going after them and removing their visas. And in Pornhub, it was like 180 or something. It was not a lot compared. It's too much, but it's compared with Facebook, Instagram, whatever. It's a different story. So it's definitely a war on porn. It's not a war on this child porn case that was actually the original problem. So back to crypto, I think that's a really important thing. What happens, we had so many things in the crypto years, like 3 years ago, I think it all started with all of these sites having their own crypto. You know, we had a G's coin, we had a couple of other coins that was perfectly made only for the adult industry, and then they all disappeared. So that's kind of sad, because that would be cool if the whole adult industry had their own coin to play around with and be on the exchange thing. Thank God the crypto world it's now way easier to buy a Bitcoin today, or at least some part of a Bitcoin today, than it was a couple of years ago. You know, you don't need to go in and have a wallet and stuff like this, like it was before, like encrypted and save your password on a note in some drawer that you will never find again, like some happened with some people. It's now easy with having a Coinbase account and then buying and using it from there. So maybe that is the step. Maybe the adult industry will do what it has always done. You know, we were responsible from going from VOS to DVD to Blu-ray to the web and streaming and everything like this. Netflix wouldn't be there if it wouldn't be for the campsites, I believe. So all of this technology we have been pushing forward. So maybe we will do the crypto as well. But I think that we're going to lose in the beginning if there is not a lot of education on how to actually convert and buy and then go in. But I think we will always have restrictions. All kind of things can still happen, I'm afraid. So let's see. But it would be fun.
Good stuff. Thomas, I want to thank you for joining us today and for being my very first guest on the podcast. Obviously, I really appreciate it. And it was really good talking to you, man. So I want to wish you the best of luck for 2021. And it is my sincere hope that, we'll have a few of these virtual events and conversations over the years. But it's my sincere hope that the two of us will get a chance to hang out in person and share a beer and some conversations face to face before this year is out. I remain hopeful. So thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing all your knowledge with everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really looking forward for that drink.
Awesome. Take care, man.
Take care.